Thank you. Can you all hear me? Okay, great. All right. I'm going to talk today about lessons learned regarding emerging health issues related to unconventional natural gas drilling. And as was said, I'm a professor emerita. I retired in December of 2014, and that lasted 2 weeks. And I went back to work part-time as a family nurse practitioner with the Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project that I'll tell you about. Again, I have no money. I have no relationships to disclose. I wish I did. Little bit about the Environmental Health Project. The Southwest Pennsylvania Environmental Health Project is EHP I'll be referring to. It's a nonprofit, Heinz Foundation funded environmental health organization, and it was created to assist and support Washington County, that's Washington County, Pennsylvania, residents who believe their health has been affected or could be impacted by unconventional natural gas development. Now, since the beginning of the project, it's been around 3 years now, so I've been on board about 10 months. I've been a volunteer prior to that, but about 10 months I've been as a nurse practitioner. We've grown to a wider area beyond Washington County, throughout Pennsylvania and into New York and into Ohio and West Virginia and most recently California, and replicating our model. So some acknowledgments. I really work with a fantastic team. The data analysis and the cases I'm going to be talking about today in this presentation were completed by members of our team in Connecticut. We have a Connecticut team and a Maine team and a Southwest Pennsylvania team. And Dave Brown, Beth Weinberger, Celia Lewis, and Leslie Wally, they helped with the data analysis. And then the health assessments were also gathered by EHP's past family nurse practitioners, Sue Ann Davidson and Denise DeJohn. And portions of the slides I'll be using were developed by our environmental health educator, Ryan Grody. So my objectives today, I want to talk about the most common symptoms and physical findings of individuals who are living near communities experiencing a proliferation of unconventional natural gas drilling. Thank you. And because I'm new at this, I'm going to talk about 5 lessons learned by a nurse practitioner working with individuals living in the gas fields. And some of the stuff I've learned, probably you already know, but this was my learning going into the fields as a public health nurse. This is a pretty busy slide, but I want to point out that it's more than fracking. And if you look at this slide, you can see it puts it all together. Basically, if you're talking about what goes on in drilling a well, which is part of the hydraulic fracturing that goes on, you have about 200 tanker trucks that deliver water for the fracking process. And this water is combined with sand and chemicals. And another truck comes, and this pumper truck pumps this fluid down 10,000 feet. Now, this fracking is millions of gallons of water and chemicals. And with the sand, what happens is it breaks a shale formation up, and the shale formation is kept open with the sand and the chemicals. And what happens is, as it's pushed down under pressure, it comes back up again. The gas comes back up again with the fluids and everything that went down with it. Some of it in our area is stored in open pits that are lined with plastic. And it's stored there and until this water is taken away for a treatment plant. Then the natural gas flows out of the well into storage tanks. But they also go into compressor stations and processing plants, and they travel along pipelines. So even if you're not in a place that has shale drilling, you might be in a place that has transportation of this, either in a pipeline or in a car, a railroad car that's going past. So you keep in mind that, you know, this really is a national health issue when you think about it, and actually it is a global health issue because it's not just fracking going on in the United States, but throughout the world. Now, what I'm going to talk about mainly is this Marcellus Shale. And if you look in this area here, where Southwest Pennsylvania is, right in the middle of the Marcellus Shale. But there's other shale formations, and we're learning about the shale drilling that has been going on longer than our 10 to 12 years in southwestern Pennsylvania. We're learning from what had gone on in Colorado, in Garfield County, and also in Dish, Texas, in Pavilion, Wyoming, because those individuals have been exposed longer to this low levels of chronic exposure to this process. Not just the chemicals, but also the diesel than we have in southwestern Pennsylvania. Now, these are some pictures taken by Bob Donnan, who works closely with our group. I want to point out, this well is 300 to 500 feet from a home. That's somebody's home. And not just how close it can be, also most of the fracking that goes on in our area, we're in a rural area. It's coal mines, the history of coal mines in Washington County, Greene County, Fayette County. So this is country, and in this country area, with the flaring, you have bright lights 24/7 at night with it burning off of the gas. Here's an example of an impoundment or a pit that is lined with the plastic for the backflow, and usually it's up high. This is a compressor station, so even though you might not have actual drilling near you, you might have on a farmland, a compressor station. And this is a metering station that pushes the gas along, and this is the pipeline. Anywhere along these sites, you have a chance for some type of exposure. So my colleague put this, Ryan wrote, put this slide together. This is NIOSH. NIOSH put this commonly found chemicals in emissions. And this is by what occupational hazards for workers who are there for 8 or 12 hours. And what these same kind of chemicals are used in this process, your ethylbenzene, your benzenes, and your toluenes. And then your xylenes or formaldehyde, sulfur oxide. And to me, the most frightening is the particulate matter, the PM2.5. And with particulate matter, this is what's emitted with the emissions. It is so small. It's like the dust that comes in the window with sunlight, but it's smaller than that. If you had a strand of your hair, it's 1/30th the width of a strand of hair. So this particulate matter that's emitted through this process often combines with a chemical or a combination of chemicals, and it's inhaled deep into the lungs. So we don't know what the long-term effects of that are. But getting back to the mission of EHP, our mission is to respond to individuals and communities' needs and access to accurate, timely, and this is most important, trusted public health information and health services associated with natural gas extraction. Our health departments don't have the capacity and the resources to handle what needs to be done with this. Our outreach is to respond to clients in regard to assessing individual health needs, looking for pathways of environmental exposure, conduct air and water monitoring, and most recently we started sampling soil, and we're working with clients to manage and improve their health and well-being. People have reached out to us, regional watershed groups, clients concerned about placement of unconventional natural gas activities in their communities, and also groups that are specifically concerned about placements of activities near schools. So what do I do in my work? Well, I do a full health history. I record vital signs and symptoms. I do a full examination based on the symptoms and also just a complete exam. I document occupational and household exposures and make recommendations for further medical consultation and ways to cut off exposure, both to air, water, and soil. Now, with the permission of clients and the community, EHP collects aggregate data on health, air, and water impacts. We also seek to establish strong associations between these chemicals, particulate matter, and health impacts. You can't really do a trial, you can't do clinical trials in this kind of work. You look for patterns, you look for like outbreaks, you look for cases, and you're looking for patterns, and are these patterns of presenting symptoms similar to what's been reported in other areas? So what we know that activities associated with unconventional natural gas development predictably results in air emissions and sometimes water contamination. And even brief exposures can precipitate symptoms. And these potential health effects of many of the known chemicals are known from studies in other settings. And keep in mind, the most vulnerable are your children, who are closer to the ground, who breathe faster, they have a longer shelf life, your pregnant women, and also your older adults who have chronic conditions. Now, EHP has observed these generalized symptoms in our categorization of health symptoms that we have found. So every place there's a little star, we have seen similar symptoms. And these are researchers and authors in other parts of the country who have found similar findings in patients that they have worked with. I'm going to talk a little bit about water contamination. For me, this was really interesting. So with water contamination, you could have three different areas affected. For example, if the water was affected and somebody drank it, you would have gastrointestinal symptoms. But then again, if you showered with it, you could have burning and dermatological ones. And then the water's aerosol, you breathe it in, you could have respiratory. And where I live, most of the people have wells, well water. So their wells could be affected. So about episodic air exposures, we have residents who come to us and experience symptoms that come and go. I'm talking about respiratory, headaches, nausea, skin rashes. But factors that might contribute to this episodic kind of symptoms include variable emissions. Oftentimes, the compressor stations or where the gas is being processed, it's vented, or it's vented along the pipelines. So with this venting, it's in the air and people have the symptoms. Also, it could be that a home has multiple sites. Might be a well pad, might have a compressor station, might have a pipeline all around the area. And weather patterns can affect this. The topography of southwestern Pennsylvania is rolling hills. So with the weather pattern and how the wind blows, and if you're downwind or downstream of several kinds of activities, you could have more of a variation and more of an episodic exposure than others. In the back, I put a lot of handouts, and one of the things I put back there was about a SPEC monitor. And on the right-hand side here of this slide, this is an example of a screen of a SPEC monitor that we put in a home and we put outside the home. And these SPEC monitors monitor particulate matter that's in the home and outside the home over a long period of time, over like 12 hours. So we tell people, watch the screen, and it's probably about as big as a Garmin or a GPS that's in your car. And when it goes up into the red and up higher beyond the 150, 250, that's a danger sign. But then again, are you using the microwave? Do you have a birthday candle that you just blew out? Are you vacuum cleaning? Those can also make the spikes go up. But if you have spikes going up and there's no other reason for it, you want to look what's going on inside and what's going on outside, because this gives you an idea of the particulate matter. So symptoms can be persistent, transient, or intermittent, and these variations are in symptoms present are constant with the changing in the episodic nature of exposures. The cases that I'm going to talk about are based on the concern of a resident or evidence of exposure potential, and it's not a random survey. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about next is not a random survey. It is basically people coming to us, and what we looked at was over 100 cases. We looked at over 100 cases of people who had some type of symptom related to the onset of unconventional natural gas activities within 1 kilometer of where they lived. And these symptoms weren't explained by any other medical condition. So with the 100 we looked at, we took out anybody who worked for the industry. These were just people who lived in the area. And then we took out anybody who didn't have a complete health record. So that left an N of 54. And what we found when we looked at these symptoms were very similar to the symptoms that were reported in the literature, respiratory, neurological, and stress. And I'm going to be running out of time, so I'm not going to read through this. But what about long-term exposures? Well, we need more time to see what's going on, to see determine the actual emissions and exposure levels in order to determine the long-term health effects of chronic low-level exposures. We do know birth outcomes in Colorado with McKenzie, who showed neuro-2 defects and cardiovascular problems with children who were, the mothers carried the children within a kilometer of some type of drilling. And then in Pennsylvania, we had, Heal did a study that showed prematurity, and then Stacy showed low birth weight. But there's also social factors. There's more accidents because of the trucks, there's more DUIs, and they did a study to find more STIs also. What did I learn? Both chemical and non-chemical exposures present a health risk, and it's not just to humans, but also to animals. And the rapid change in the rural areas carries a risk of social disruption and also mental health. And my time is up, but I did learn that we as nurses and healthcare providers often don't put an environmental health assessment into our work, and I also into our assessments. And I also learned that research needs to be done, and also advocacy. And Barbara talked a little bit about how important it is for nurses to be an advocate for your patient. And this is the staff I work with. And if there's more information, if you would like, I have all kind of handouts out there. And if you go to our website, you can also get a medical toolkit that we put out for healthcare providers to tell them more about the new coding that's out. There's more coding now for environmental health diagnoses that weren't there before the coding changed.
Well done.